Hey, Mele Kalikimaka, how are you tonight?
Oh, we're so glad to be part of a ministry that, can you believe, by the way, that 2016 is almost here? I'm looking at the date up on the screen and I'm shocked. Where have all the years gone? We're all getting older faster, except these young kids. What a great job they did tonight. Good job, guys. Thank you. Thank you. You know, thinking about Christmas tonight, if you have your Bibles, open up to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to have a short study in the Word, thinking about Christmas and Christmas time and what Christmas is all about. Seems like every year we need to remind ourselves more what Christmas is all about. It is so easy to get distracted with things that Christmas is not about. I heard about a couple of kids, brother and sister, they were singing Christmas carols. They were singing Silent Night, and the younger brother was singing Sleep in Heavenly Beans. And his sister said, no, silly, not beans, it's peas. Sleep in Heavenly Peas. They missed the whole point. Or I heard a story about Orville and Wilbur Wright back in 1903, the first flight. Nobody had ever flown before, and these two brothers working on the plane, they finally took off. It was December 17th. They flew for 120 feet. They wrote a telegraph to their sister. We flew 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas. She took it to the newspaper. She wanted it to be printed. The editor looked at the message and said, oh, great. The boys will be home for Christmas. He completely missed the message that human beings had actually taken flight into the air. Or, I don't know if you know about Japan, but in Japan, Christmas time is all about KFC. Did you know that? It's all about Kentucky Fried Chicken. I learned this recently. Because of an ad campaign back in 1974, Kentucky Fried Chicken had, what is it called? Kurisumasu ni Kentucky. And they said that all Americans eat Kentucky Fried Chicken on Christmas. So to this day, if you want to get your box of chicken on Christmas, you have to order months in advance. And if you don't, you'll have to stand in line for hours. To them, the colonel is Santa Claus. It's Colonel Santa Claus with that little white beard. I guess he shaved. Maybe it's the same guy, just in a different country. I'm not sure. Or how about the shopping? For a lot of people, Christmas is all about the shopping. How many of you love to go to the malls and look for parking? All right, if you raise your hand, you have to get out of here right now. We can't tolerate that. No. All right, I hear these stories about Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, where there's stampedes and people are trampling each other and fist fights breaking out in Walmart. Is that what Christmas is all about? Shopping? No, it's about Jesus. The Bible tells us that Christmas, or the birth of Jesus, is one of the greatest things ever. I think it was in 353 when a pope declared that Christmas, or December 25th, was Jesus' birthday. Now, we don't know if that's true. That's not for sure, but it is a good time, if any time, to celebrate the entry of God Himself into this world. I think it was somewhere around the 1800s when somebody first put a candle in a Christmas tree, and that began our tradition of lighting Christmas trees. And who could have imagined the decorations and everything that goes around Christmas with the trees and all of these things? But really, at the heart of it, Christmas is about Jesus, that God took on humanity. He took on a human body and He entered into our world through a birth canal. He became a man. And so Christmas is, unto you a child is born, a son is given. Now tonight we're looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, just a short passage describing the incarnation. The incarnation is a doctrine in the Bible that teaches how God became a human being in Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, verse 5 says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God." Now that's just a big way of saying that Jesus Christ wasn't stealing God's identity by being God. Another version says this, that He didn't think that being God was a thing to be grasped or to cling on to. Because Jesus is God, clinging to Godhood wasn't something that He needed to do. And if He did, He wasn't robbing God because that's who He was. Now, if I said to you tonight that my name is Bud and I cling to that identity, you wouldn't say, well, you're stealing that because you're not Bud. Because I am Bud. That's who I am. So to be Bud is not something that I have to rob to be. It's a weird way of saying that Jesus Christ was God. And even though He was in the form of God, what He did was He let go of all of the rights and the privileges and the position of being God. What a wonderful thing. that when Jesus Christ was born to Mary in that manger, what he was doing was laying aside all of his power and his attributes, the fact that he has existed before time, that he has no limitations. In our church at South Shore Christian Fellowship, we've been studying the attributes of God, how God is self-existent, how God is unchanging, that he has all power and all knowledge, and that he's everywhere present, that he is awesome in all of these ways. But Jesus didn't cling to those rights. He let them go so that he might become a human being, so that he might lead us to God. I heard a story about a Persian king who wanted to get to know his people, and so he dressed up like a beggar, like a poor man, and he walked the streets introducing himself. Well, another poor man invited him to eat with him in his cellar where he lived. And there, it was a rough environment, but the king went, and the furniture was old, and the food was plain, but the company was warm, and it was a good time. And they began sort of a friendship that night. Well, a week later, the king showed up, not dressed as a beggar, but dressed as the king. And he told him, "I am your king." And the man was so grateful to see him, but he didn't do what the king expected him to do by asking gifts. He didn't ask for a blessing or for money, and the king was surprised by that. And he said, "Why don't you ask for a gift?" And he said, "Oh, king, you went from your palace to my cellar, and you left your throne to sit on my old furniture, and you left your delicacies to eat my humble food. You might give a gift to others, but to me, you've given yourself." And that's really what Jesus did. He didn't come to give us a better life or blessings, but he came to give us himself. And so when he was born in the manger, he laid down all of his rights. Or as that Christmas carol that we sing, "Hark the Herald," verse 3 says, "Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more will die, born to raise the sons of earth and born to give them a second birth." But also we notice here in Philippians 2 verse 7 that not only did he not cling to his rights and position as God, but verse 7 says, "But he made himself of no reputation." Another version says that he emptied himself, or yet another version says he made himself nothing. He made himself of no reputation, and he took on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. The wonderful thing about Jesus, and really Christmas is about giving, primarily God giving us his son, that Jesus not only was given to us in his birth in the manger, but his life was lived as a gift to us. He emptied himself. In other words, he was willing not only to lay down his awesome identity and power of God, but he took up the anonymity of being a human being. He was just a plain old man. Just a plain human being. And when he came, he was born in humble circumstances, in a manger. He grew up a blue-collar upbringing. He had rough hands and hard work, and his friends were regular people, not overeducated. His followers were plain old sinners. He lived a humble life because he wanted to show the way to God. I heard a story about a man who was in his kitchen in a colder climate, not here in Hawaii, but somewhere in the mainland. And it was around Christmas time. It was snowing outside, and he was looking out of his window from his kitchen, and these little birds kept coming and hitting the glass there, and he saw that they were trying to get in out of the cold. He looked down, and they were hovering around on the ground outside, and he wanted to help them. So he went outside and he opened the barn door and he tried to shoo them in, but every time he got close, they all fluttered and went away. So he tried to lure them in with breadcrumbs, but they were too cold and too scared to be interested in that. And then a thought flashed in his mind. He thought to himself, "If I could just become a bird, they would trust me and follow me and I could lead them into safety." And that's when he realized that that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. God loves us so much and he wants to bring us into the safety of his kingdom. And yet we're terrified of him because he's so awesome and we're so sinful and he's so holy. And so what he did is he came in the form of a humble person, the man Jesus Christ, so that we can learn of God and trust him and follow him into his kingdom. That's what God did for us. And so we read there in verse 8 that he even went to the death of the cross. We say that Christmas is about giving. It's not so much giving between human beings. Of course, that is. It's a wonderful thing. In fact, I just read an article today about a person in Florida. It just happened that this woman went in and she went to the cashier, and the cashier said, "Happy holidays." And the woman said, "Oh, thank you so much." And she paid for her meal and she said, "Listen, I want to pay for the person behind me as long as you'll say to them, Merry Christmas. And so the lady agreed, and she paid for the next person. Well, the next person came up. Instead of Happy Holidays, she said, Merry Christmas, and told the story. And the next person, not only did they receive their free meal, but they decided to pay it forward. And they paid for the person behind them. And this continued for 6 hours. The lady at the register said that 250 meals were paid for the person behind them. And she just kept saying, Merry Christmas. I thought, what a great story about joy and giving. Although I kind of thought it was a wash, because if you got a free meal and you paid for the next person's meal, it kind of, they paid it forward. What a great thing. Christmas is about giving. It's about generosity. But really, it's about God giving to us. We know the verses. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. Or John 3:16, that famous verse that we all know. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. In fact, Jesus said the same thing. He said, I didn't come into the world to be served, but I came to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. And so when Jesus was in the manger, he was given as a son to us, but then when he lived his life, he gave his life to us, serving others, and finally, he offered his life and gave a sacrifice for us as a death on the cross. His death was a gift for us. And sometimes we look at that nativity scene around Christmas time, and it's all sanitized and it's sterilized, and really it's not. When you think about the humble way that Jesus was born, he was born without doctors, without a hospital. Nobody was checking to see how effaced or dilated Mary was. This was totally foreign to all of them. In fact, I had the privilege of helping out with a live nativity scene in my neck of the woods out in Waimanalo the past couple of nights. There's a farm up there, and every year they have a live nativity scene. It was Friday and Saturday, and it'll be next Friday and Saturday. It's a great time, but it had rained Saturday during the day. So Saturday night came, and the ground was muddy, you know, and I thought the contrast between those neat little tidy manger scenes where all the animals seem to be so pious. It's amazing how those camels have become Christians, and the cows seem to be mooing worship songs, and the goats seem to be kneeling before that little baby Jesus who's glowing in the little wooden manger with hay coming out. It looks very comfortable. Listen, it's nothing like that. We got up there, it was pitch black, you're stepping in mud, you're getting bit by mosquitoes, those animals are mangy and ugly, and they're loud. Jesus was not born in an easy situation. It wasn't easy for Mary, it wasn't easy for Joseph, a long journey. When he came into the world, he embraced everything about being a human. He didn't come to be served and to live in a mansion, he came to be born and to die for our sins. And the amazing thing is that the trough that he was laid in, you ever see those troughs? They're a little wooden, you know, thing that has hay in it and it's all nice. And they lay him in there. He's wrapped in linen swaddling cloths and he's put in there and he looks comfortable. But actually they found in Israel today, they found troughs and they were made of stone. They weren't made of wood. They were made of stone. And so when Jesus was laid, his first crib was a stone. It was a stone crib. No comfort in that. But it was a sign, it was a type, it was a picture of what was to come, because they wrapped him in swaddling cloths as a baby and laid him in a stone trough, but later he would be wrapped again in linen cloths after he was crucified and laid in a cold stone tomb. It was God's picture for us that Jesus would not only be born and live for us, but he would die for us on the cross. Praise God, he rose again. Jesus rose again. And today he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's our gift to us. He's God's gift to us. He's the gift that we have from God. For as Isaiah said, unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, and of his government and authority there will be no end, and of peace there will be no end. Could you imagine if I gave you a gift of the Son of God? Wow, that's the best present ever. But not only is the Son of God, he's called Wonderful. That means he is a miracle that God became a man, and he is a miracle worker, and his resurrection is a miracle. Do you need a miracle? That's God's gift to you. He's called Wonderful and Counselor. Counselor is a lawyer. It's an attorney. It's somebody who defends you. It's somebody who advises you and leads you. Do you need advice? Do you need defense? Do you need somebody to plead your case before God? That's who Jesus is. He's also the mighty God. He has all power. El Gabor is the Hebrew word. That he has the power that you need in your life. I bet every one of us would raise our hands if you were offered power. How many of you need power? Yes, we need power. And He is our Prince of Peace. Oh, this world needs peace. We live in a world of turmoil and strife, and people are empty and broken on the inside. And Jesus Christ, when he rose again, he wasn't just given to us as a baby and as a man and as a sacrifice, but he's given to us as our Prince of Peace. And Jesus offers us his peace, and that's what happens when we are born again. See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is where we are born again. Jesus is called the firstborn from the dead. And when he is resurrected, we are born again in him. All you have to do is believe in him, trust in him. He took our place in death so that we could take his place in life. He died for our sins so that we don't have to. I read a story about in the 1700s in France, a young man was drafted and he didn't want to go to war. So his friend went in his place. He went in his name, and sadly, the friend died and they buried him. A year later, the soldiers were passing through the same village and they saw a man that looked of age to be fighting in the war, and they wanted to draft him. And he said, "You can't draft me. I'm dead and buried. Go check your records." And they did, and sure enough, he was dead and he was buried, and the law had no power over him because somebody died in his place. That's the same for us. Jesus Christ died for your sins and mine so that we wouldn't have to. And we can go to heaven and have the hope of heaven and the new life that comes with being cleansed and washed, being born again to have his peace. All we have to do is receive him. So Christmas is about giving God's gift to us, and really it's about us receiving him. Receiving him. We still have to accept Jesus. And that's hard for us, though, isn't it? The older we get, the more proud we are. It's hard for us to accept something. We've been told our whole life there's no such thing as a free lunch, and if you want it, you have to earn it. You have to work for it. We need to be like kids. That's what Jesus said. If you want to enter the kingdom of God, you have to become like little children. Something about children. They love gifts, don't they? They love gifts. My kids, boy, they're already wanting to rip the presents off the package under the tree. They want it right away. They have no shame in asking for it. They'll tell you what they want and when they want it. But adults, we need to humble ourselves and simply receive and accept Jesus Christ. But there are so many people today that, just like back then when there was no room in the inn, they have no room for Jesus in their lives. They're booked up. They're booked solid. They have no space, and they reject him and turn him away at the door. But we need to receive Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. I knock at the door of your life and your heart. If any person would open the door," Jesus promises, "I will come into them and I will eat with them and have fellowship with them." All we need to do is give Jesus space in our hearts, space in our life, space to come in. Now we read here our last verses. It says in verse 9, "Therefore, because Jesus was obedient to death on the cross, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven," those are angels, "and those on the earth," that's us, "and those under the earth," those are the demons even, "and that at the name of Jesus Christ, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father." And so not only is he raised again, he's exalted above all things. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. They're born in a manger with humble beginnings, a perfect life of serving, crucified, buried, resurrected, exalted. And here we read that the day is coming when every single person will bend the knee to Jesus Christ. Either we bend our knee to Jesus Christ and say, "You're the Lord," now, willingly, or one day, everybody will bend the knee, some by force. Christmas is a time to be ready. It's to be ready and to get your heart right and accept the gift of God in Jesus Christ. And tonight is a good night, if you've never opened your heart to Jesus Christ, to give him the opportunity to receive him. If you've never given your heart to the Lord or opened your life and asked him to come in, tonight is your night. It's a time to receive Jesus Christ. Remember that classic play, A Christmas Carol. The story goes where Ebenezer Scrooge is visited that night by the ghost of Christmas past. And he's warned, but he wakes up and he doesn't take the warning seriously. He thought it was just last night's beef, he said. "I wasn't close to the grave, that was only the gravy." And a lot of people do that. They don't take the warnings of God seriously. They don't take the word of God seriously. But thankfully, God gives us another chance. And in the play, Ebenezer Scrooge is given a second chance. And he does. He changes his life. He gets right. He repents. Well, maybe you're like that tonight. Maybe you're a person who's never opened their heart to Jesus. You don't know his forgiveness. You don't know his joy and his peace. You've never accepted him as the Prince of Peace. You've never realized God's gift in your life. You don't have the hope of heaven, and you don't know the gift of God. Maybe there's an emptiness in your heart, a hunger and a thirst for something real. Or maybe there's a hurt that runs deep and you wonder why God could have ever allowed that to happen to you. Or maybe you're living in a place of guilt where you just want to be clean. You want to be washed. You want real life. Maybe you've heard the gospel before and you've heard the warnings, but you didn't take them seriously. But God's giving you another chance. God's giving you another opportunity to receive the greatest gift ever offered from the greatest giver that ever was. Maybe tonight you want to be clean and you want real life. You want another chance. Well, don't miss the message of Christmas. Don't miss the message that Jesus is the way to real life. Tonight, if you want to accept God's gift, it's as simple as opening your heart and saying, "Yes, Lord, forgive me." And so as we pray, I'm going to give you a chance to receive Jesus Christ and to see him come into your life and change you. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Father in heaven, tonight, as we have read your word and we look at the truth about Jesus, that you came into this world and you laid aside all of your deity and the privileges you had as God, and you took on the form of a humble man, and you served us. And then, Lord, you went to the cross. We believe that. You were obedient, and you were crucified for our sins, and you were buried, but, Lord, you rose again. You rose again so that we could have new life. And, Lord, tonight I pray for any here who have never received you, they've never accepted that gift. What a perfect time to accept Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you're above all, and we willingly bow our knee before you. You're the Lord, you're our Savior, you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you are the gift to us. You're our wonder, you're our counselor. You're our mighty God, and you're our Prince of Peace. And Lord, we thank you tonight. And Father, now if there's anyone here tonight that's never opened their heart, I pray that you'd give them the strength to say yes to Jesus. And tonight, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder if that would be you tonight. You'd say, "You know, Bud, I've been to church a lot. I've heard the gospel, but I'm not sure I've ever opened my life to Jesus." And here you are sitting, and you've enjoyed the evening's songs and fun, and yet here is God reaching out to you, asking you, "Would you open your life and let me come in? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and they open, I will come in." If that's you tonight and you want your sin forgiven and you want to have the hope of heaven and eternal life, I would ask you just to raise your hand that I might pray with you. If you'd like your sin forgiven, if you'd like the hope of heaven, raise your hand now so that I can pray with you. God bless you. And you. God bless you. God bless you. Anywhere you are tonight, if you've raised your hand or you haven't, but you'd like Jesus Christ to come in your life, very simply, pray this prayer. Say, "Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe that you died on the cross for me. I receive you into my life now. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me. Wash me. Give me the hope of heaven. Be my God and be my Savior and be my friend. In Jesus' name, amen."